Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, it is Tuesday, not Thursday. Yeah, I've really blown the whole Thursday girl thing. It is Tuesday, October 1st. How I love October. How I love it. I do. And we are having a really nice fall. A little warm today. Not complaining, because as we know, I don't complain about the weather, and it would be horrible to complain because it's really been beautiful, like in the mid-70s for a long stretch. Today it's supposed to be in the mid-80s, although you know what? It's like 2 o'clock. No, it's 3, and it doesn't feel like it hit that. So I think the weather people are once again wrong. Anyway, been a long time. We'll not even talk about it. I have a couple quilt diaries. Very little quilting news. I have made these quilt diaries. One I made the week before last, and then the first one the week before that. So I have no idea what I said. None. Sure, I talked about the mosaic quilt. I can't remember if it's one of the quilt diaries. I make this commitment to the mosaic quilt or just going forward with it and not thinking about anything else till I'm done. And now, of course, I'm thinking about other things. But I have got 8 blocks in the making for that. And that's got to get as close to done, because I am going to do some, sashing, some really broad borders, because I'm ready to move on. Love the mosaic quilt. Love the look of the quilt. All for it. Can't wait to have it on my bed. But I got to move on. And I'm actually looking at some fairly simple patterns, both in Quilty and in Quilters. No, what is it? I used to have it. It's the one, it's like Quilt, whatever. The one that I've talked about in the past where I've never picked it up until I saw it at my mom's. And then I thought, oh, and I looked through and I was like, oh, this is delightful. So both of those magazines have some fairly easy quilts, straightforward, and a couple patterns that I just think are very cute, very easy to do, and really allow for some serious quilting practice. And that's just what I'm about, except for the fact I really haven't been about that. I don't know what's going on. Big fall garden, that's part of the thing that's going on with me right now. Big fall garden. I went to New Orleans a couple weeks ago, week and a half ago. That was totally unexpected. Did I talk about it? I might have talked about it in a quilt diary. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. But that threw me off, because I thought it was next month. I thought it was this month. I thought I was going to New Orleans October 19th. Turned out September 19th. October 12th, I'm going to Nashville for the Southern Book Festival, which is a big deal. The only thing is, it's like, so I looked it up online, and I am doing an event from 3:30 to 4:30 in some conference room in like the government center, and no one's going to come. You know, I was hoping I was doing a panel with other people, but, you know, and I shouldn't complain. It's nice to be asked. It's nice to have that. They invited me through my publisher, so Simon & Schuster pays for the whole thing. I'll have room service, yay, but I don't really expect much of a turnout, but maybe I'll get a nice couple nice girls and we can have a good chat. Sometimes that happens. You never know. I'm going to try not to sweat it, but I'm happy about the trip, and that I'm going in Saturday morning. My event is at 3:30 Saturday afternoon, and then I'm coming home the next day, leaving at 1. And unfortunately, one of my very best friends who lives there, my friend Nancy, I'm calling her she was one of my very best friends, and it's not that I don't love her, but we're not in touch the way we used to be. So still someone who I adore, and I got in touch with her, and I wanted her to be like first person that I would make plans with. And unfortunately, she's not going to be there. So now I'm going to check with a couple other people, and going to have coffee with Janice Ian, my famous email pen pal who liked my book Falling In, and we are going to get together because she lives in Nashville, and she actually will be at the festival as well. So that's going on. I have to tell you about some things. TV show, it is on PBS Online right now. If you've not seen it, it's called Last Tango in Halifax. If you are the sort of person who loves the UK country living, even if you can't afford it because it's kind of expensive, but like you're at Barnes & Noble and you'll look at it and you kind of have these fantasies about English country life, the show is for you. It's not highfalutin English country life. It's like two, but it's an older couple who grew up together, liked each other, but she moved out to another village when they were 16, and so they never got together. They meet again when they're in their 70s, which is now, and they fall in love and decide to get married. She had married very wealthy. A wealthy man had an unhappy marriage, has at least one daughter, and so we've got her and then her daughter and her daughter's unhappy family. But her daughter is like the director of a private school and is very posh. And then he married someone from their village, and he has a daughter as well who is a farmer, and she's not posh at all. And so it's sort of, it's just a big soap opera, but it's set in England. So it's fabulous. And they started showing it on American PBS, as far as I can tell, like in September. The first four episodes are online. I'm assuming they'll post all the episodes eventually. Although, you know, by the time they get to episode five or six, the first one may be off. So go to PBS Online. It's called Last Tango in Halifax. Fabulous. Love it. We're watching a lot of TV right now. No, we are DVRing a lot of TV. Watched the Michael J. Fox show. Loved it. Did not love the previews, the commercials for it. It just seemed like a one-joke show, but it's actually very funny and very good. And, of course, it's Michael J. Fox, and so you're rooting for him, and he's good. It's all good. So watching that, watching Brooklyn 99, hilarious. Also really good. And then, Foyle's War. Which, you know, Foyle's War, it's slow. I've only watched the first one so far. It's slow, but it doesn't matter because Detective Foyle is in it. Although they don't call him Detective Foyle, do they? Whatever they call him. And Sam, his driver. So that's all good. Just happy to see them and be in the same room with them via my television screen. So that's happiness. And then the man and I are watching Mildred Pierce, which was the HBO miniseries. We checked it out of the library. The man is reading all these novels by James M. Cain, who wrote Mildred Pierce. It's with Kate Winslet. It is slow, but I'm going to tell you what, if you are a textile person and a fabric person, it's set in the 1930s, or at least it begins in the 1930s. I think it spans at least a decade, maybe two. Watch it for the textiles. Watch it for the fabric, for the dresses. Kate Winslet wears this green sweater that I would die for. It's fabulous. So, and it's also, it starts out very slowly. Now, I haven't read the book, so I have no expectations. The man is kind of impatient with it. It's like it's taken, you know, 2 hours to cover the first 50 pages of the book, blah, blah, blah. But you get drawn in, and Kate Winslet is awfully good, and it's fun watching her do an American accent. And she really is good in the part. She really inhabits this person, this character. So if you're looking for some 1930s melodrama, I would suggest seeing if you can get Mildred Pierce out from your library. I have just gotten the new Elizabeth Gilbert book. It's sitting in a box on my table. I realized I wanted to record this before Will gets home from school. My friend Sarah is dropping him off. And what is the title? Who knows? I don't know. You know, it's been, you know, just got the front page review of the Sunday Book Review. And I'm kind of cheering. It's gotten two very nice reviews from the New York Times, one from Barbara Kingsolver and the other from Janet Maslin. And I'm looking forward to it. I did not love, Eat, Pray, Love. I loved the eat part, liked the pray part, and was really just kind of, by the time I got to love, I was like, please. But I've read quite a bit about her recently with the publication of the new book. We've got a New York Times Magazine piece on her and an Oprah piece, and she sounds like good people. I'm rooting for it. And I think, what a risk to write this book. It's set in the 19th century. It's the story of a life of a woman botanist. You know, it's kind of getting on to the same ideas that Darwin got onto. Has a big thing for moss. You know, it's like, I think that takes a lot of bravery. I mean, how hard to follow? I mean, this is actually not her follow-up to Eat, Pray, Love. She wrote a book, a nonfiction book called Committed, about deciding to get married. which I did not read and didn't have a lot of interest in reading. But so this is, you know, a pretty serious piece of fiction, and I think an act of courage and bravery. So I am for her and rooting for her, and it just arrived today. My friend Danielle, who moved, she moved in August to Charlotte. She was in my book club, and now she's gone, and this is really bad for my book club. Oh my goodness, my book club. We've been meeting now for 11 years. Danielle, always at the heart of it. Another woman, Liz, whose her family is taking a sabbatical this year. Her husband is a professor at UNC, a very well-known, highly regarded cancer specialist. And they're in England. They're in Oxford, I think. Oxford or Cambridge. Anyway, so she's not there. And it's like the heart of our book club is gone. And this woman, Lisa, who was at the book club when it first started, was there for about a year and then quit. Just, you know, she had little kids and life was overwhelming. She's back and she's kind of awful. She's actually, personally, I think she's a nice person. So I don't think she's, but she's not a good presence in this book club. And that's going to be problematic. So it's making me feel sad. But Danielle and I are having our own book club with the new Elizabeth Gilbert book. So, you know, Jack did not, I'm sitting on the porch. Can you hear all the bugs? Oh, I can tell you what it's called because here is the book review because Jack did not take out the recycling yesterday. The Signature of All Things. Also, another book I'm reading, which I'm probably a third of the way through and would recommend. It is The Husband's Secret. Horrible title, but very good book. It's by Leanne. I think it's Leanne Moriarty. She's Australian. She wrote the wonderful novel What Alice Forgot, which I recently reread just because I picked it up. But I really enjoyed this. And you know, when you're my age, you can reread something and go, wow, I forgot about 2/3 of this book. So this is the new one, The Husband's Secret. And it's following the lives of several characters, but one of the characters, Cecilia, finds a letter that her husband had hidden in the attic, and it's addressed to her to be opened on the after he dies, in case he dies, or I can't remember exactly how it's put, but for Cecilia to open in case of my death or what have you. Anyway, so she's got the letter. Does she open it? So far, she has not. And she has told him. She finds it when he's out of town. And she tells him on the phone she's found it. And he begs her not to open it. He just says, oh, it was very emotional. It was just an emotional time after our first child was born. And it's just silly and I would be embarrassed. But she has her suspicion that there may be more to it than that. But I think she will open it. I don't know. But she is not the only character. There's several other characters. Just very good, very funny, and sharply observed. It's set in Australia, but really, I just pretend it's England because I'm such an Anglophile. I'm sorry if you're Australian and you're like, what? What are you doing? Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'll put it back in Australia. That's really offensive. I'm sorry. But it's a very, very good book. I'm really enjoying it, and I need to finish it up. One, I don't have a lot of time left with it because it's very much in demand. And two, I have the Elizabeth Gilbert and my two-person book club with Danielle, in which we are going to discuss the new Elizabeth Gilbert. So I think I've told you the things I want to tell you about media. Allison Within a Quarter Inch is back. I have not listened to her yet, but she is apparently podcasting again. If you did not get to experience Allison while she was live on the air, she is a lot of fun, and I recommend her to you. So I need to get back. So yay, Allison, if you're listening, welcome back. We are so glad you are back. A final thing, and then I will get on with the Quilt Diaries, whatever they say. Who knows? I should listen. Just like, whoo, what did I have to say a few weeks ago? No idea. This past weekend, was the North Carolina Statewide Folk Life Festival, which I attended as a volunteer. I was a booth sitter, so when these people wanted, who were sitting in booths, like the people from the North Carolina oral tradition project, which is really, really cool. They'd go around all over the state and record accents and brogues and dialects. Very neat stuff. Or there was several Native American representatives, a flautist and a basket maker. There were potters, all kinds of really cool people. And if they wanted to go to lunch, then I would sit at their booth. So anyway, I volunteered for that. But 2 days prior, Thursday and Friday, I also volunteered at the Folklife Summit. And this was for folklorists and arts council people and culture workers who wanted to talk about essentially what's going on in North Carolina, what's going on with folklife, how can we all work together to make everything wonderful and to get more programming to people and that sort of thing. And I just took registrations and listened to the various discussions and the various speakers. One of the speakers on Friday was a woman named Jerianne King, and she is a quilt maker. And she is lives in Warren County, which is about an hour north of where I am, so it's fairly rural area. And she and some other women and a couple men, and I think they're all African American, started a group called the Heritage Quilters. And obviously, all quilt makers wanted to get together. Meet together, talk about quilting, but they decided they wanted to have a project. And there was, underneath the gathering of quilters, the point of their project was they wanted to get all sorts of people in the community out and gathered together, and you know, without regard to race or class or ethnicity or anything, which sometimes in rural communities can be difficult to do. But almost all traditions have quilt makers. And so what they did is they had a documentary project where they would, on weekends, be at the library, the Warren County Library, and they put out a call for quilts, bring in your quilt and let us document it. Let's have a record of the quilts in our community. And she said it was amazing because you get all these different kinds of people. And she showed slides, and she was, there's some quilt that was beautiful, very old quilt, and she pointed to the woman who belonged to, was an older woman, and she said, "This is Miss So-and-so, and to be honest, you know, she comes, you know, her husband owned this factory and this place and that place." She said, "If it weren't for this project, we would have never met her. Our paths would not have crossed. But because of this project, you know, we did meet and made a connection and, you know, formed a kind of community right there." They also went out and about throughout the county to people who could not come into the library and documented their quilts as well. And they got a lot of really beautiful stuff. It's amazing. Some very old stuff, some more contemporary stuff. I talked with Jerianne before she went up, and she of course had her iPad and had all kinds of pictures of quilts she made, which were beautiful. And she does traditional quilts. And just amazing stuff. Very pretty, very beautiful work. So that was neat. And the thing is, so they are this group. They're trying to get funding to buy this house that's right in the middle of town. And they want to open a center for young mothers and get these women in and teach them how to sew, but also use it as an opportunity just to talk about mothering and about health and nutrition and just that sort of thing. And I think that's a really cool idea. You know, so they're trying to be a force for good in their community via quilts and quilt making. And that was exciting. That was a really neat project. It was really neat to hear about it. And this woman is just clearly a force to be reckoned with, but also very kind and very down to earth. It was a joy meeting her. So that was a neat thing. So I think a quilt documenting project in any community is just a great idea. Just get the people out with their quilts and their stories. Very neat stuff. So that is what I did last week, and that was neat. And I thought of you guys. I thought, I have something quilty to talk about in my podcast. How exciting. I really don't have pictures this time, but I think what I may do is actually take pictures of the magazine pictures of the quilts I'm thinking about making. I want to thank everybody who commented on my last episode. I'm going to get, you know, one of these days, I keep saying this is going to happen, but it's almost been a month since my last podcast, so who knows how long this is going to take to get back into a rhythm. of podcasting, and I'll get back into my whole thanking everybody by name. But right now, just want to say thank you. I appreciate all your comments. I appreciate your prayers for my mom and your good thoughts. She is doing pretty well. She just finished her fourth round of chemotherapy. Her blood cancer, good. She's tired, but other than that, feels pretty well. Has not experienced nausea from the chemo, which is just amazing, and we're so thankful for that. But she appreciates your prayers and your warm thoughts and kind wishes, and as do I. So keep praying, keep thinking warm thoughts. That would all be good. And I will leave you here and say on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. See, I'm back to doing Quilt Diaries. We are getting back on track with this podcast. It is Saturday, August 31st. It's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. It's very early for me anyway. It's 7:30. I don't usually podcast this early, although I'm often up this early, especially during the week. But all summer, I got up early for me, usually over the course of the summer. You know, you start out getting up at the same usual time, which for me is about 7. And then slowly, it's 7:30, and then it's 8, and then 8:30. That's probably about it. As my boys have gotten older, there have been more opportunities for sleeping in. But this summer, I just kind of got up around 7 or 7:30, and it was really nice. And it's really nice right now. And one of the reasons I'm recording, although I'm still just drinking my first cup of coffee, and so I'm not going to be wildly coherent, is because I'm hoping you can hear the noise, which is so nice. And I hope we'll get a few more birds in here. I'll tell you what, last night I walked out. I'm on the porch. Last night I walked out, and the bug noise was tremendous. It was like a wall of sound. It's that late summer last gasp kind of thing, and it was amazing. I'm sipping the coffee now. Anyway, I wanted to tell you, because I keep meaning to tell you this. I think I've mentioned that I save my fabric scraps, and I've probably mentioned that I had some idea of using them as compost or mulch. And then my friend Catherine down the street, who is about to start a sustainable ag program at the community college in Chatham County. It's a community college, but it's this huge sustainable ag program. And she and my other friend and fellow gardener, Amy, said, use the scraps as mulch. When I brought it up, I was like, all these fabric scraps, I hate throwing stuff away. And they said, use it as mulch in your garden. So last night, and I have to say I did this when it was starting to get dark. The man and I went to Lowe's yesterday to buy mulch. I have planted broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, and cauliflower, and they all need mulch. And so we went and got tons and tons of bagged mulch. In the spring, we'll just go to the big mulch place downtown and order a truckload, but we just went with the bags this time. And I thought, I'm going to go ahead and get my broccoli mulch. There's not much light left, but I'm going to do that. And I started, and I thought, no, I've got my fabric scraps. Now, one thing that Amy suggested is that I wash the scraps, get out any excess dye, so they wouldn't leach into the soil. And so to that end, earlier this summer, I ordered a lingerie laundry bag, you know, sort of a netted bag that if you want to wash your stockings or your silk nightgowns or whatever, which, you know, I'm not sure you should be washing your silk nightgowns, but whatever it is you want to wash and kind of keep protected, use this netted bag with a zipper. So I got one, and I washed one load of scraps. It was all fine. The second load, I have a lot of scraps. I really do save everything. And with the second load, I overstuffed the bag. So it was fine. It went through the wash just fine. But the bag, it didn't explode. It just opened. The zipper came open during the drying session. And I think it's because I did overstuff. And so I opened up the dryer. it's just like full of fabric scraps. Fortunately, I only had a couple other things, and one of those things in that load was a sheet, and that was very helpful. So, but anyway, so I had a big paper bag out here on the porch with my scraps just ready to go under a layer of mulch, and that's what I did. And looking at it now, I'm walking over to see. For the most part, there was some point where it kind of looked like the mulch had confetti in it. It looks that a little way now, but I kind of think that's nice, little pieces, little tags of color sticking out. One thing I'm going to do, and I'll probably and really make this a habit, but do with the scraps I've already washed, is I need to cut some of them down. I'd also like to use scraps to compost, but I think to do that, I also would really want to cut them in small pieces. I think that they'll compost a lot faster. I'm all about the composting, all about the upcycling. I'm reading a really interesting book called Cradle to Cradle, and essentially, it's like, we need to be making things in a way that when we're finished with them, they are biodegradable. They're either reusable in a real way, because we recycle our newspapers, we recycle our bottles, our plastic, and it's to some extent downcycling. The authors of Cradle to Cradle, one of them is William McDonough. I can't remember the other guy's name. That's a phrase that they coined. Downsizing is your paper. Paper can be recycled a couple times before it becomes just unusable, and the same is for plastic. That it degrades to a point where you can't really make it into anything else. And of course, a lot of plastic is not recyclable. It just because it's composed of so many different kinds of plastics. So, like plastic toys might have 100 different kinds of plastics that would have to be separated to be recyclable. So, Cradle to Cradle, the whole push is, let's start making stuff in a way that it's either entirely reusable for a long life, can be upcycled, or is biodegradable. And it really gets you thinking, how can you keep stuff out of the trash, like fabric scraps? And of course, it's very helpful for me since I have a garden that allows me to really reuse a lot of waste, not plastic waste. It's such a habit to get into. The man and I went out to lunch, and yesterday afternoon, and we go to this place we always go called Rick's Diner that we really like a lot. And as we were settling the check, the waitress asked me, "Would you like a tea to go?" And I automatically, without thinking, said, "Yes, I'd love that because I love tea." And it was a hot afternoon. And of course, she brought it to me in a styrofoam cup. Styrofoam is forever. And I thought, I need to remember to ask. I mean, a lot. I think with cups right now, you're out of luck. But more and more places around here, at least where you go, if you get a to-go box, like there's a really good place called Nana's Tacos. The box they give you is biodegradable. So anyway, fabric scraps are biodegradable. So I'm very excited that I'm finally using them to mulch, especially because I really hate weeds, and we did not do a good job of mulching this summer, and I've done a lot of weeding, which actually, to be honest, I say I hate weeds, but I actually enjoy weeding. I find it kind of meditative. My other big excitement for today is I'm going to Thimble Pleasures. Yay! I'm gonna go. My purpose for going is not wildly exciting. I need more Kona White. But who knows what I'll see. I might see something I need a little bit of. I'm trying to be frugal here, but sometimes a girl just needs a little fabric. I did get some fabric from AJ Dub. Thank you, beautiful blue batiks, and also lovely pink and peach batiks for the mosaic quilt. And I really appreciate that. There's going to be a lot of fabric in this quilt. It was given to me by you, which is just really lovely to me. And I have completed 5 more blocks. I hope this weekend, it's a long weekend. Labor Day is Monday. It's a weird week next week. Labor Day is Monday, and then Thursday is Rosh Hashanah. So it's like a Swiss cheese week. But and I am going to write. I'm working on 2 projects right now that I'm really, really enjoying. And so I will do some writing, and I will be doing some gardening because I need to plant the carrots. Problem is, it's still hot here. We had this beautiful cold snap last week. Not cold. Yeah, it was cold. It was 80 degrees. It was really chilly. But a real drop in humidity. And that's gone. We're back to summer, which is fine because you know what? Summer mornings in the south, it may be everywhere, but certainly here are just gorgeous. And the evenings are really nice too. But I want to plant carrots, and carrots take a long time to mature, but I don't want to plant them too soon while there's still a lot of heat. But I need to do that and plant my radishes and my turnips, something else, now I can't remember. But yeah, so I do have some garden work to do. And I'm also making what's called a lasagna bed in one corner of the garden that gets really swampy. And that I want to get going on because that's a bed I'm going to build up over the course of the winter. So in the spring, it would be beautiful and wonderful and make for very happy planting. I have morning glories from last year coming up. They sort of resurface. I think we've had such a kind of cool summer and a cloudy summer. And I will say the nice thing about this sort of last blast of hot weather is we're starting to actually finally get tomatoes. Yay! I have black beans growing in pots. Oh, and they're producing tons of beans that I'm leaving on there. I'm going to let them dry. I know, it's like become a garden podcast, sorry. But the hulls are purple. They're beautiful, beautiful plants. So I'm very excited about that. Excited about going to Thimble Pleasures. They do have, Quilt School 2 on Sunday afternoons. I think it's in November. It's 3 or 4 Sunday afternoons in November, so we're out of baseball season, so those should be ostensibly open to me. But the question is do I need Quilt School too? So like, you know, learning to make half-square triangles. I'm like, I can make half-square triangles in my sleep. On the other hand, it's fairly inexpensive class. I think it's like $70 for 4 classes. And I might learn how to make better half-square triangles than I do. Although I'm getting much better. I'm sorry, that was a kind of coffee smack there. So I'm pondering that. Here's finally this opportunity to take Quilt School too. Will I do it? Do I need it? And part of me is like, sure. You know, but even if you've got the skills, improve the skills. There are some other classes that are going on, just sort of one afternoon, you know, like a Sunday afternoon class. I can't remember. There was something that looked good. There's a paper piecing class. It's like some sort of simple paper piecing, which I may do. I need to check that date. I may do that. Jay, I'm going to get on that paper piecing pony again. I am. And my mom gave me a Carol Doak paper piecing DVD. She gave that to me in April, I guess, when we went to the Cincinnati Quilt Festival. And I haven't watched it, but I'm getting back. I'm getting back with work is good. I'm feeling more like I'm in a routine. Obviously, the boys are in school. They both went on their class trips this past week. Jack was gone Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, came back Friday afternoon. And he said it was good, and good from Jack, as we know, is high praise, because usually stuff is just fine. It was good. And I said, well, what was your favorite part? And he said one of the hikes. This is coming from a child who does not walk happily, who just, when we went to this doctor's appointment hit for his physical, the doctor said, you might want to like get him a vitamin D supplement because he clearly doesn't spend any time outside. And he said one of the hikes, they hiked to a waterfall. So I was very touched by that. Will and his buddies, so he's in 5th grade, they're like really complainers right now. It's like everything, they're very critical. And he has his 2 best friends who I've talked about many times, Gavin and Wynn. There's a 4th boy who's trying to be the 4th wheel, and I think that's being resisted quite a bit. It's funny, his name is John. And his family lives in Raleigh. And yeah, and that's to get to from Raleigh, where they live downtown, to Durham Academy here in Durham, here in the heart of Durham. I mean, that's gotta be a 40-minute drive every day. I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know them that well. But in the summer, they asked if Will and John have kind of gotten to be friends. And so the summer they asked if John could spend the night on Wednesday night, because usually when the kids leave on these class trips, they have to be at school like at 5:30 or 6 a.m. And so we said sure. Now it turned out that the time, departure time for this trip actually was 7:45, which is the normal time that the kids get to school. And I pointed this out to John's parents, and so we're like, John is of course welcome, but just wanted to let you know that actually, he doesn't, it's the regular time. They still wanted him to spend the night. The mom, Karen, was out of town. I kind of feel like they really want Will to be friends with John. That somehow Will's going to be John's ticket. Oh, Travis just went inside. I thought someone was coming outside. Yeah, so John, I don't even know why I'm telling you about John. I was just thinking about, oh, the complaining thing. And so anyways, but the plan was set. Oh, John was coming. There was no stopping John from coming to spend the night. And then, of course, when I asked Will earlier in the week, like, so, how are you getting along with John? He's like, he complains all the time. He's really negative. I'm like, oh, Lordy, this is not going to be a fun sleepover. It was fine. John's just one of these kids who doesn't stop. He doesn't have like a chill out button. And he's, it's funny because he's smaller than Will. And I don't know what that has to do with anything, but he's very, very competitive, so, and Will's like me. He's an introvert. He's socially, he's very talented. He has lots of friends. He's very well liked, but he needs his downtime. He really does. And so that was really tough on him to have this kid who was in some ways such a guy. Not all guys like that are like this. And in fact, Will and his friends, Gavin and Wynn, are not like this. They are competitive, and Will and Gavin especially will get really competitive with each other, but it's not constant. And they're really good friends, so they have other modes, where this kid John was just like competitive, competitive, competitive. But I really felt it was out of kind of this insecurity, like I'm going to prove that. Okay, here's the funniest thing, and then I'll stop talking about it, because it has nothing to do with quilting or even gardening. Whatever, but you know me. I talk, I ramble. Pick Will and John up after school on Wednesday. Come home, pull up our driveway. Now our house, it's a nice house. It's an older house. It's a nice size. It's like 2,600 square feet, which to me seems really big. I think to most of the world, it seem really big. But when you live in the rarefied air of Durham Academy, maybe it doesn't seem that bad big. Because we got out of the car, John looks at the house, and he's admittedly looking at just the side of the house, so maybe he didn't see it from the front. They said, "Oh, Ethan's right, your house is small." And I just looked at him like, one, who says that? And B, what are you talking about? I'm like, I need to send my children to public school. If they're running around with people who think that this is a small house, it's not a McMansion. It's a sort of, nice size house. And the irony is, and I realized this later, is as I said, John's family lives in downtown Raleigh in a bungalow. And I'm thinking, so why would this house seem small to him? It's probably much bigger than his. But then I realized, well, that was a throwdown. That was a throwdown. So, guys. By the way, isn't it nice and quiet? Because the distressed child is not out yet. I think her name is Megan. Someone, I didn't do a good job last week, this past week, of saying thanks for the comments, and I'll get back on that. But so thank you, everyone who has commented, excuse me, over the last couple of episodes. But someone commented, the episode before last, I was out here recording, and the distressed children were out being distressed. And someone's commented along the lines of, you know, it may be a child has developmental issues or, you know, something, you know, there's something really wrong. And I suspect that's true. I suspect that's one of the reasons the kids are out so much. It's like the mother needs her sanity. You know, but yeah, I have that sense too, that there's something up there, because it's just this constant level of distress. But it does make me appreciate these times when I'm sitting out here and it's quiet and beautiful. Yesterday I was sitting out here, and then I'm going to finish this entry. You've probably fast-forwarded by this point, and I don't blame you. Be free. Do what you need to do. But I was sitting out here, and I'm going to say a flock of crows, but I actually think it's a story of crows. I think crows are grouped in stories. Came in to the yard. We have at the edges of the yard, we have these really, really tall pine trees. They're probably six stories high. There were probably 10 or 15 crows making a huge racket. Clearly something was going on. I couldn't figure out what. I was looking. At one point I thought maybe I saw a hawk. And there are hawks around here. There are also owls. But they were just, I have this book of crow about crows I really need to read. Because I'm like, what? But it was like for a good 5 minutes, and sometimes they would leave one particular part of the yard and then go to another part of the yard. And just flying around in circles and yelling and cawing, and it was amazing. It was really cool. It was a little bit like being under attack, but other than that, totally cool. All right, I need to drink my coffee. You need to get back to whatever you're doing. Or you may be on your way to work, and so you'll just continue on to the next quilt diary, which I hope will come soon, perhaps even later today. You never know. Maybe now that I'm back on the pony, I will stay on the pony and ride that pony hard into the sunset. We shall see. But I'm going to finish my coffee. Quilt Diary Day 2, I think. It's been so long since I recorded Day 1. But I think, or it's so long that since I've recorded Day 1. For all I know, I did a Day 2 and a Day 3, and this is Day 4. But I'm pretty sure I've just done one quilt diary. So I think this is Day 2, and this is Thursday. My big dream is I'm going to get this posted today. It's Thursday, September 19th. Later today, I'm going to New Orleans. Oops, I'm about to sneeze. All right, I did sneeze 3 times. Anyway, I'm going to New Orleans today. I thought this was a trip I was taking on October 19th. And so last week when I started getting emails from the publicity assistant or whoever she is, she's very nice. I shouldn't say it like that. When you work for, I don't work for a big publishing house. You publish with a big publishing house. They are filled with fabulous young women just out of college, 23, 24, very bright. In 2 years, they'll be headed toward law school. That happens with like 90% of them. It's like, what happened to so-and-so? Oh, she decided to go to law school instead of staying in publishing. But they do a couple years of publishing as these marketing assistants and publicity assistants, and they're just lovely and really young. And so I got an email from Sienna saying, we're going to plan your flight to New Orleans, so here's our possibilities. And the dates weren't quite matching up, so it's like leave on the 19th and then come back the 21st. I'm like, I don't want to come back on a Sunday. And so I'm like, Sienna, I don't want to come back the 21st. And all of a sudden I realized that we were talking about September 19th, and the 21st is a Saturday. And I'm like, oh, I'm a whole month off on this thing. And this was last week, which for some, I think it was exactly a week ago. And, you know, I'm not really the sort of person who can just get up and go to New Orleans on a week's notice without, you know, massive mental trauma. I know, it's so sad. And I'm not traumatized. It was just one of the, you know, I'm just a creature of routine. The other thing is I had already had a lot planned for this week. I had just scheduled a school visit, which I did on Monday, which was lots of fun. And then on Tuesday night, I was doing a bookstore thing. And so I was just like, oh, good grief. And then I'm going to have to add this. I'm not going to get any work done and blah, blah, blah. And I need clothes and I need a haircut. And so, you know, being in New Orleans will be very nice. I've been a couple times. I like it. The weather will be warm. I'm going to go down. I have a lot. I'm flying in tonight. My event is tomorrow afternoon at 4. So I've got all day. I'm going to go down to the French Market and walk around and go sit and look at the Mississippi for a long time, which is a really big, big river. It's very cool. You know, have a good lunch and then do my event. And then there's a big dinner for the Simon & Schuster authors. And so I can go and feel really awkward and tongue-tied. That'll be fun. and then turn around Saturday and come back. So it's all very good, and it'll be very nice. And people are always, it's the Southern Independent Booksellers Association. It's their annual convention. And at some point I'm supposed to be walking around the convention floor carrying a copy of my book so that I can strike up interesting and witty conversations with booksellers. And it's great. The president of SIBA sent out an email to all the visiting writers, the attending writers, and she addressed a beloved writer, but she kind of, part of it was about, here's what not to talk about: your Amazon ratings, your great, your reviews on Goodreads, how much Kindle business you're getting. It's okay, yeah, we are dealing with indies, which is great, because, you know, I have a very soft spot in my heart for independent booksellers. We have a shop here in Durham, the Regulator Bookshop, which is very nice. And in fact, the event I did on Friday, on Tuesday night, was at the Regulator. Okay, so here's how I got over myself. So I'm feeling like all loosey-goosey and nervous, like, oh my goodness, I've got to go to do this and do that in my routine. I'm all out of my routine. This is terrible. And then on Monday afternoon, I get home, and Will has started baseball again, so you got to throw in your baseball practices and your baseball games. And you know how last spring, if you've been listening for any amount of time, you know, the Will's team, it was great. They had a great season. It was very nervous-making because they never lost until the very end. And there's something about it. It's too much pressure. I couldn't take it. Well, this is fall ball. It's very relaxed. It's really supposed to be skills building. And he is up a league. He's up in the major leagues. And a lot of times in fall ball, they'll do that. They'll take kids who are, you know, show a lot of promise, and they'll bring them up with these kids who are, you know, their promise has been made manifest. And his team is like this young team. It's younger kids, and they're playing these guys who are amazing. And, of course, they're getting their butts whooped. So it's a total opposite thing. They're really just, they've played two games, and they've just been whomped. But Will has played very well. And I think in some ways it's like, I mean, and there's no tournaments, there's no nothing. It's really just practice ball, except they do have uniforms. And I'm hoping that what will happen for Will and the kids on his team is that they'll start taking more risks. Because if you have nothing to lose, then why not die for that catch? Why not take a swing? But anyway, so Monday, I'm home from picking up the boys, and then I've got to take Will to his game. And the phone rings, and it's this producer from WUNC, our local NPR station, saying, can you come on the show tomorrow, The State of Things, which is the show at noon, with John Bemis, wonderful middle grade author, by the way. If you have kids sort of 9 to 12, look for his name. Is John Claude Bemis. He writes fantasy, very cool stuff. It's sort of fantasy mixed with folklore. Great guy, great author. Anyway, she's like, can you come on with John and kind of publicize this event at the Regulator Tuesday night? And my first thought was, no, I cannot do that. I am not psychologically, mentally, emotionally capable of doing that. Because I've done this State of Things. I've done this radio show now 3 or 4 times, and the guy who is the host, Frank Stacio, is amazing. He's a great interviewer. It's a very comfortable, fun thing, but it's still nervous-making because hundreds of thousands of people listen. That may be high, but it's a lot of people because the network, it's affiliated with all these other NPR stations across the state, so they carry it. And that, you know, is just like, oh, good Lord. But, you know, you can't say no. I couldn't let John down. And he's a friend of mine. And also, the State of Things has been very generous having me on when I have new books out and I go. And I get a lot of publicity, and they like me, and I like them. And so I'm like, all right. And at that point, I just got kind of hysterical. I did. I just started laughing hysterically. It's like, okay, what else? What else can you bring on? What else? Do I have to go on TV on Wednesday? I mean, what's going to happen here? But It was fine. It was good, but somehow that just sort of broke the tension for me because it was just getting so ridiculous. Like I could not be further out of my comfort zone. No routine, flying, which you know I don't like to do. Mostly I don't like to do it because the potential of getting sick. Although I'm flying at five, so that's really good because my stomach, you know, I will have eaten, and so it's not, you know, and I will be pretty well rested as opposed, you know, another option was getting up tomorrow at 5 and getting on a plane at 6 in the morning. And it's just like, no, that will not work with my stomach. It will not work with my head. I can't do that. But this, so I'll be in a very settled place in my day. And so it ought to be fine. Of course, I have to fly to St. Louis to get to New Orleans because that's how we roll these days. Flying wise, but we just stop at St. Louis and pick some folks up and then head on to New Orleans. Of course, there's supposed to be thunderstorms because that's, I'm sure there'll be a hurricane because that always happens when I fly too. Not hurricanes, but just like the weather's been perfect and nice and pleasant. All of a sudden, like bad weather heading our way tomorrow when Francis is flying. So that's my life right now. Getting a lot of quilting done? No, I'm not. I'm just the queen of the half square triangle. I am cutting. That is what I'm doing. I have to say a lot of my time and attention right now, besides being just my sort of, you know, freaking out about having to do all this stuff, is still with the garden. I've almost got it all put in. I'm a little late with some stuff. Although, you know, I mean, our first frost date is November 15th. So you're really supposed to have your fall stuff in by September 15th at the latest. But we could, you know, weather is wacky and you can get a frost date on Halloween. You can get frost, you know, October 15th. But in general, our winters have been milder with the change in the climate. So I'm okay with like getting some lettuce in, some greens in this weekend when I get back. I do have the broccoli and the carrots and the cabbage, and something's been eating my French breakfast radishes, which I love. They're leaving everything else alone, but all my radishes are gone. I don't know what that's about. And I've planted Swiss chard, and I don't know what else. Anyway, that's almost all settled, and then I think I will have some more time on my hands to do something like quilt. I need a new project. I think probably, if I recall correctly, my first quilt diary, I'm like, this is just what I'm doing till I finish, not doing anything else. But now I'm like, I need something else. I need something new. So yeah, so I'm a very, right now, very unfocused quilter. But that will change, I hope, soon. So that is my news. I'm trying to think what I'm reading. I just got a book for the trip called Fangirl. One word, Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell. Rhymes with Dowell, R-O-W-E-L-L. I can't remember if I talked about her book, Eleanor and Park, this spring. I may have. Excuse me. Just because young adult fiction, the best young adult novel I've read in years and years and years. Better than John Green, I think. Better than Sarah Dessen. Love Sarah Dessen, but she's writing the same book over and over again. It's problematic, but So Eleanor and Park, even if you don't read young adult fiction, I would recommend it. It's such a good book. So this is her new book, and it's also young adult, but it's interesting because it takes place in college. I think the main character is a freshman in college. She's just starting out. So, you know, the book just came out. It's gotten really good reviews, and it's 400 pages long, so it should last me. So that is what I'm about to start. Ironically, I was supposed to have my book club tonight, and We're a little bit at loose ends book club wise. Two of our members have left, one for a sabbatical in England, and my friend Neil, who's moved to Charlotte, who is really kind of the mover and shaker of the group. And so we're trying to regroup, and we didn't have a good plan for September. So I just threw out a couple titles of books I'd already read to make it easier on myself, books that I've been very happy to read again. And one of them was Me Before You by JoJo Mays. And she, by the way, has a new book out. If you haven't read Me Before You, so good. And I read it again. I got out of the library again. I read it again. Finished it and then learned I would be coming to New Orleans and missing my book club meeting. But it's a wonderful book. I cried again. I knew the stuff that was coming. I'm like, oh, no. I've got her new book on hold at the library, and I could not tell you right now what it is called, but her name is JoJo Mays, M-A-Y-E-S, and she is English and writes sort of contemporary women's fiction and is really, really good. So I just finished that. Reading a lot of environmental, climate change, green movement stuff for a variety of reasons. And finished the second Louise Penny book in the Detective Gamache series, the Three Pine Mystery series, and have the third one called The Cruelest Month, which I haven't read, but I've got it on tap. So it's on deck, I guess is how you would say it. Anyway, I would love to know what you're reading that's really, really good, what you're looking forward to reading. It's always good to have a book list, and Christmas is coming, and it's nice to know what to ask for. So that is the reading part of the show. I feel like I'm actually reading a memoir that's really interesting. It's by the writer Julius Lester, and it's called Love Story, on becoming a Jew. And Lester is African American. He was involved in the civil rights movement. Has been writing for years and years and years, and has written some children's fiction, and put together a compilation of slave narratives from the WPA projects. The book is called To Be a Slave. It's amazing. But when he was, and he grew up the son of a Methodist minister, grew up in Arkansas. He had an ancestor who was Jewish. I think his great grandfather was Jewish. He lived openly with a black woman. I guess this was after emancipation. Shortly after emancipation, yeah, he probably wouldn't have been before emancipation. Anyway, and Julius Lester was always drawn to Judaism. And in fact, it was very mournful for a period because he felt like he couldn't become a Jew. And one of the things that he writes about is, you know, the sort of animosity and conflict between American Jews and African Americans. But he does end up converting, and it's really beautiful. It's a really beautiful story in a lot of ways. I'm very compelled by it. I'm not considering converting to Judaism, but I'm learning a lot. And it interests me a lot. So that's been good. I'm almost done with that. So that is something else I've been reading. Got the new McCall's quilting with lots of Christmas stuff on the cover. I still think they need to be working on their covers. Their covers are not working. I've seen the new quilty at the store. Have not picked it up. I might take a gander at it and look at patterns. I would love just a new simple pattern just to do something, put it together quickly. Thanks to, I think it's AJ Dub, Amy, who sent a link to a Halloween quilt, and it's a candy corn quilt. And I actually, I have a magazine with a similar quilt, and I like it. I like the candy corn quilt, so that's a possibility. We'll see if I make that happen before Halloween. Every year, I'm like, I'm going to do a Halloween quilt, and perhaps I shall. But, and Jay also, and I've been very bad about not acknowledging comments, and I'm sorry about that. And if I have time if I can post this before I go, which I may not be able to, I may be posting this Sunday, and if I do that, then I'll go over reader comments. But Jay also suggested applique, for a Halloween quilt, a pumpkin quilt is appliquing pumpkins, and that's a great idea too, and that's something I should look into. So thank you, Jay. I feel so out of the quilty world right now, and it's just things, all kinds of stuff spinning around. My mom is doing well. She finished up her third round of chemo a couple weeks ago, and I believe we'll start her next round next week. She continues to not be experiencing nausea from the chemo. It's noisy again. I'm sitting on the porch. Okay, I'm going to have to finish this up. That's been going on, that noise. That lovely noise for about a week now. Anyway, she's about to start fourth round of chemo. In general, things are good. She's not been sick. I think she more just feels tired. There's a cumulative effect. But I really appreciate the kind things that you've written and the prayers that you're praying. And I know she does too. Okay, I'm going to end this here. This is a really good time. And so I hope you have a good week. Hope I will be back soon. I love hearing from you. If you want to drop me a line, either at fdowell@nc.rr.com or come over to theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. Until I talk to you again, I will be thinking very nice thoughts about you and having great hopes that you are getting lots of quilty work done. Okay, bye for now.